Well, good morning, everyone. Graham Holm here with the Wilson Weekly with the amazing Dr. Andrew Wilson. And you are looking very vibrant and very tan today, I must say, Doc. Are you in holiday mode yet?
Well, not yet, Graham, but I must blame the lighting today because I'm in the studio, the Sydney studio, not the Melbourne studio. That sounds pretty posh, doesn't it? And I have an old-fashioned, really good studio light. So thank you to the lighting here. Making me look in preparation for what will be a bit of a break soon to come.
And I look like Casper the Ghost in my lighting today. I'm going to have to get your lighting people to talk to my lighting people.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, we'll set up a time and a link and they can do their thing. And, you know, it is all about the show, not the go. So we'll get that ready. No, it's all go today. But, yes, look, here we are, middle of November, Graham, 15th November. So we're actually at the halfway point of the month. And then we can really start seriously talking about holidays. And we are sort of entering holiday mode. We'll look at the latest auction results from the weekend, as we usually do. And, of course, there was a bit of an added tickler to the auction results because we did have that rate rise, of course, last week, first rate rise since June. And of course, we've been on pause mode really since May, other than that June rise. And the question is, are there more to come? And I think we discussed that last week that, you know, perhaps the Reserve Bank's not done for this year yet, and that they might follow up with another rise in December, which isn't good news for mortgage holders, of course. And we certainly acknowledge that. And I guess they're going to have to be more focused and circumspect about their finances, Graham, cater for these higher rates.
Yeah, we did a webinar free webinar last night, Doc, and I think we had about 4,000 people register and about 2,000 people jump on just on one of my free Tuesday night sessions. So, and hundreds of new people sign up to learn from you and I at the masterclasses coming up. So it tells you that when we have these rate movements and this fear and this pinch point, people are starting to look for knowledge. They're starting to do the research. And anyone that's tuning in, if you're not a client of ours, that's fine as well. But if you just love tuning in, make sure you're getting the right guidance. Make sure you're getting the right data. Follow a Doc Wilson on LinkedIn. Talk to your broker or worst case scenario, your wanker banker if you've got product A and B with a mainstream lender. But actually, Doc, that wanker banker comment leads me to something to start with.
Okay.
I've seen the article. There's a couple of clips floating around, but the big four alone have published profits of $32.5 billion.
You know, are we surprised, really? We have a lot of discussions about the banks here, and we certainly have focused on their results, their track record in terms of housing market forecasts, which is pretty dim and pretty grim, to be quite honest. But I guess we can accept that to some degree because we do have a very secure banking system, and which is a good thing, of course. They don't have to take risks because there's only four of them. So we don't take risks with our mortgage lending, which is a good thing, of course. Mm. But the other end of that pineapple is the fact that they do make very big profits because of that oligopoly, as it is called, when you have very strong market power and only a few players, as we have in our finance sector, and we get those big profits. But talking about interest rate increases, Graham, and something else we've discussed, and I guess this is relevant with those figures that you've mentioned, you know, those spectacular profit figures, is that we've seen a little bit of catch-up on margins since the last rate rising cycle back 10 years ago, 2011-12, more than 10 years ago.
We have indeed.
Well, we're actually back, the average mortgage rate is a percent higher, nearly a percent higher than what it was back 10 years ago, 11 years ago, and yet our official interest rate is actually lower, nearly a percent lower than where it was a year ago. So despite official rates being lower now than they were 10 years ago, our mortgage rate is actually higher. So there's a little bit of catching up there, not catching up, but moving forward, I'd suggest, with bank margins since then. And of course, as we move back into a rate rising cycle, and I guess we're into a new rate rising cycle in a sense, you know, maybe there's more fertile ground there for banks to be catching up with, or, you know, moving ahead with margins, not just pushing up mortgage rates based on the increase in official rates, but maybe a little bit higher than that. And of course, the issue there clearly is that we need some sort of an umpire to be, you know, reviewing the very strong market power of banks. And as I said, it's a good thing, but, you know, we must maintain the interests of the consumer, that they're not, you know, sort of losing out in this deal, that, you know, mortgage rates are rising at the same level as official rates and not higher, Graham. That's what we don't want to see.
You got a feel for them, Doc. I mean, Commonwealth Bank came in at the top with a whopping $10.2 billion. And poor old Thefpac came in at the bottom with only $7.2 billion. I mean, gee whiz. What are we a population of, Doc, now? 26, 27 million people, maybe?
Yeah.
So $32.5 billion across the top four, 26 million. I'm going to do a podcast on this. I think we need to work this out per head and go, what profit are they making for every boy, woman, child, man? Yeah. Cat, dog. It's a big margin, Doc.
Well, it is. And, you know, we've had that despite what's been a downturn in the housing market last year, you know, and we're still not back to the, well, in Melbourne and Sydney, we're still not back to our previous price peaks of a year ago. And of course, when you take a mortgage out, it is referred to the value of the property. So if the value's down, your mortgage isn't as big. And if your mortgage isn't as big, the banks aren't making as much money as if you have a mortgage based on a higher price, if you understand where I'm going with that. Of course, that's for new mortgages. So, you know, notwithstanding that we've had a quieter period in the housing market over the last 2 years, you know, it's still a pretty good result, isn't it, Graham?
Bloody good result. And I'll tell you what, for some organisations that have been shit-canning the housing market for as long as I can remember, that seem to make most of their money from the housing market, they're doing okay. So it's quite counterintuitive.
Well, it is, Graham. But as I said, we just need to ensure that the interests of the consumer are protected here. I think this is a role for the government. You know, we have APRA that, you know, manages risks for banks. Well, who do we have that manages the risks for consumers that they're perhaps paying a little bit too much on their mortgage than they should be, given where interest rate movements are up or down or a little bit less, if you understand what I mean, particularly now that we look to be having more interest rate rises potentially going forward. Let's hope not. But we're certainly well short of conquering inflation. It's interesting also, Graham, that we've just had the official data out for the US inflation numbers, and they had a better result than was anticipated. But their underlying inflation, which is the key measure that central banks use, because that takes out those volatile elements such as food and petrol. And of course, the improvement in inflation in the US has been because petrol prices have fallen over the last month. So, or compared to where they were a year ago. So that's the annual rate has improved. But their underlying inflation is 4%, Graham, and our underlying inflation is 5%. And yet our interest rate is, 4.5%, and the US interest rate is 5.5%. So that gives you some sense of the difference between the US and Australia's results, interest rates versus inflation, and why perhaps, you know, we've had to raise rates again because we're still too low. But the US is now saying because of those improved rates, well, commentators are saying, and well, we shouldn't listen to a lot of them because they have, you know, vested interests, I think, in the market, but are saying perhaps that's the end of rate rises for the US, but they're still at 4%. Their underlying target is 2%. So they're double the target, Graham. So they've still got some work to do, and they'd be hoping that there's some improvement going forward. But a lot of this does rely on the price of oil. And I'm sure you've noticed, as just about every Australian would have noticed at the Bowser, at the petrol pump, it's a pretty big number there now. It's
I think last week, Doc, you said it was about 2:30 in Melbourne. I noticed a day or two ago I filled up on the Gold Coast. It was $2.08, I think, $2.07.
Yeah.
It's up there.
Yeah, Sydney's around about $2.25 at the moment, but I think Melbourne got as high as $2.45 at some pumps. Oof. There, Graham, which is the highest on record. So, I guess the question there is that actually the price of oil has fallen over the last week. And it's now just over $80 US a barrel. It was pushing over 90 a while back. So we're not seeing, to this point anyway, some relief that we normally do as the price of oil falls. So, let's hope that those petrol prices start to reflect falling oil prices, which they should, Graham, because they certainly jack them up as soon as the price of oil starts to rise again. So once again, we need to have somebody looking after the consumers' rights here to ensure that they're not being, gouged in terms of, it's all right for, those who control petrol prices to be saying, oh, well, we're in the hands of the market and oil prices have increased, so we've got to put it up. But, it's when oil prices are falling and the petrol prices aren't falling, we've got to ask some pretty hard questions there, Graham.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a bit of a... It's hard, Doc. Sometimes you say, okay, petrol price, oil's changing and this and that, and they're out there changing the signboard in the other direction. Right. And you think, hang on a minute, you bought that oil like last year or that fuel like 6 months ago, and it's almost like they get to double dip. They're up and down on the price board every day.
Yes, Graham. It's, as I said, we're in a tough position now. Our inflation rate is way unacceptably too high. We're still having to see higher rates. We've got some very important information out this week, Graham, that we'll discuss next week, and that's the wages index data from the ABS. So that'll tell us if we're earning enough money to cover our, if our income is covering our outgoings. Yeah. Australia actually at the moment has a fall in real wages. And I guess on the one hand, we'll be hoping to see an improved number from the lower number we saw over the June quarter for the September quarter wage index. And intuition tells you, logic tells you that it should be higher given how strong our labour market is. But that's good news in a way. But unfortunately, if we see higher wages coming through, that'll probably mean the Reserve Bank will use that as a sign that they've got to raise interest rates because of, wages increasing. So interesting data. And, of course, also this week, Graham, we've got the latest unemployment data coming out for October. So, let's look forward to that data and discussing it next week. But we've got some interesting data this week to discuss.
Yeah, let's rip in, Doc. Let's knock it on the head. Everyone's waiting with bated breath, and let's let them know what's happened in the auction market rate and the economy and what's around the grounds for the last week, Doc.
Well, the latest data from my housing market, looking at some of those drivers, recent data drivers of housing market activity, and we had the ABS release its home loan series. As we've discussed, Graham, there's been some issues, and we haven't really been pushing this data much over the last couple of months with the ABS's data set. They haven't been publishing first home buyer data. They said that that was not reliable, and that they were reworking the model along with APRA, who are the bank regulators, the banking sector regulators, to come up with what they felt was an improved model. They've actually come out with that, so we can look at that today. But it's certainly a lot different to the data that has been produced in terms of the trend over the last year. But home loans generally increased up by 0.9% over the month, and that makes sense, Graham, because we know the market's been rising. As I said, we've got to take just even with the ABS's own, statements that some of their data has to be reworked. We've got to take it with a grain of salt. But nonetheless, you can see the trend there in terms of home lending has increased up by 0.9% over the month. And the trend has risen this year. As we know, house prices have risen this year. Interestingly, this shows the comparisons with owner occupiers, investors and first home buyers. You can see that investors are actually the top performers here, Graham. We'll look at the breakdown in the change over the month, but they're tracking pretty closely with owner occupiers, investors. But look at first home buyers. That's the bar chart at the bottom. They've really fallen away, and we shouldn't be surprised at that given you know, higher prices, higher interest rates, high rents, high prices generally, constraining first home buyers from, you know, getting into the market. So no surprise, we're seeing a big gap now developing between first home buyers and investors, which at one stage they were tracking together when we had that terrible credit squeeze on investors. But no surprise that first home buyer activity is has slid away this year with higher prices and higher interest rates and higher rents, you know, all making it tougher to save for that deposit for first home buyers. And you can see there that first home buyer activity down by 2.4% over the month. And first home buyers have been the big losers over this year to date and also the full year. And when we compare it to the same periods last year, but all home lending is still lower than where it was a year ago. And yet we're seeing these big profits from the banks, Graham. So doesn't that say it all? But investors, they're up by 2% over the months, and they were the top performers for home lending, according to the ABS. And when we look at the home loans over September on a state-by-state basis, Queensland was the top performer there, up by 2.5%. But all states are down over this year to date compared to the same period last year. Investor activity, New South Wales, as usual, the top performer for investor lending over September, and Victoria, the top performer for first home buyer lending. Interestingly enough, Victoria is sort of marching ahead of the other states for first home buyer lending. They have a number of in-house proposals, policies directed at first home buyers down there, and that seems to be having an effect. In fact, they're, you know, New South Wales is now not that far ahead of Queensland for first home buyer lending.
Right.
That gap's starting to close as the gap between New South Wales and Victoria is widening. And I think that's, you know, just a reflection of high prices in the Sydney market, particularly. And of course, high rents in the Sydney market also, which, as I mentioned before, constrains lending activity. Refinancing is falling away now. All that cliff nonsense is behind us. The refinancing seasonally adjusted was lower over September, and also the market share when we compare refinancing versus established lending or lending for established owner occupiers. We can see that market share is falling away again. So, lending picking up slightly, Graham. And, of course, now we've got to face the hurdle of higher interest rates to see how that will impact lending going forward. But I think the big news from that home loan data was clearly the sharp falling away of first home buyers now. And that's not a good thing for balance in our housing market if we're seeing restrictions for entry-level participants in our housing market, Graham. We want everybody to be involved in housing, and, you know, it's becoming a very tough gig, which will only become harder with higher interest rates and, you know, it's with rents as they are. That's just terrible for first home buyers that are trying to save that deposit to realise the great Australian dream. We also had house building costs released out the My Housing Market House Building Cost Index. Some better news here, Graham, over September, just down marginally. We actually saw building costs fall over September compared to August, just down marginally, but certainly they remain significantly higher than the year before. So you can just see there, even though that growth is obviously spectacular from that stimulus package in early 2021 from the previous government, just really created a chronic shortage of labour and materials with all that demand coming through, which pushed up prices, which were at one stage rising at 25% annually, which is just ridiculous. So just starting to look like it's tapering off now, Graham. Last month we actually had an increase, August versus July, but now we've seen an improvement. So let's hope that continues to that trend continues, because we need more houses, Graham, and, you know, to offset what is a particularly, well, just a general shortage of housing in our housing markets, you know, reflecting what's very strong migration at the moment as being one of the keys that's creating that imbalance. The rate of growth actually fell below 10%. This is the annual rate of growth on quarterly house building costs, which is what the ABS uses as a measure for their inflation model. So that was down. So that's a good sign, hopefully, you know, going forward in terms of the official inflation rate. But still, you know, results are very, very high, Graham. You can see there that we fell down. This compares the quarter to September quarter to the September quarter last year. You can see how the annual rate of growth has been falling, but it did plateau through the winter months, Graham. But now we're back falling again, under 10% annual growth. So, as I said, let's hope that that continues to trend downwards, because, you know, it only means, even if builders can make a profit out of that, that means they've had to put up their prices to cover it, which means it's more expensive for consumers to purchase new homes. So some better news there for house building costs, which are a key to, given where they've come from over the last 2 years, which are a key to, you know, building more houses, which we certainly need in Australia. And just looking at the breakdowns here on a capital city basis, this is, you only get this data from My Housing Market. You can see that Sydney's clearly ahead of the rest in terms of the average quarterly building cost over the September quarter for a house. And, of course, that reflects particularly the higher price Sydney market. But it's interesting, Graham, that the Sydney market or the New South Wales building costs are actually starting to ease at a quicker rate than the other capital cities. So, again, you know, higher costs are constraining perhaps less competition, because we know Sydney doesn't build as many houses as Melbourne and as is Brisbane. So perhaps a less demand there is putting some downward pressure on costs for new houses, which is a good thing there for Sydney siders. But you can still see there the spectacular growth. You can see Sydney house prices actually fell 1.4%. These are house building costs, I'm sorry, over that September quarter. But when we look at the annual results and the results to this year so far, you can see some big, big moves there, particularly from some of those smaller states, with Adelaide the clear leader in building cost increases, house building cost increases up by 33%, and Brisbane also up over 30% over the past 2 years since we've had that splurge from home builder. Our auction market, Graham, as I mentioned, a steady weekend, which was perhaps a bit of a surprise given that higher interest rate. Not that the interest rate increase should really affect buyers who probably had their mindset, you know, already before the rate. So they were already, you know, looking at their homes that they were potentially going to buy. But nonetheless, it's still there as a sentiment issue, higher rates. But it we really had quite a steady month. Weekend for auction results. If we do get another rate rise over December, obviously that will impact the market, which always starts to ease at this time of the year, Graham. We always see clearance rates falling through mid-November into December. It's a seasonal effect. You know, those buyers that are buying and then selling, obviously they're constrained because they can't conduct a sales campaign under normal circumstances because we've got the Christmas break coming up. Perhaps for the same reason, you know, we do see sellers a little bit more reticent to sell, you know, unless they can get their price. But so we do have those seasonal effects. And, of course, it also represents high levels of stock numbers that we do see coming into the market at the end of the year. And that's what we saw last Saturday, Graham. Another big number for our Sydney auctions, over 800 and higher than the weekend before. And a steady clearance rate, 70%. So that's still a good result for most sellers, 70%
sure is.
Clearance rate. Melbourne, of course, a big jump from the previous Melbourne Cup holiday weekend. Nearly 1,000 auctions in Melbourne, Graham. Steady clearance rate. Again, Melbourne's been a bit easier, as we've discussed over the last month or two, but still just basically or generally marginally perhaps favouring sellers in that market. Brisbane steady again, despite marginally higher numbers, and Adelaide down a little bit from its typical 80% clearance rates, with Canberra steady with higher numbers over the last weekend. So I think a pretty steady result there, Graham. We know we have a generally an easing property market due to the approaching holiday season. We always see this with lower clearance rates through the year. But, you know, given big numbers in Sydney particularly and Melbourne, I think they're reasonably encouraging results going forward. And you can see there that, just, you know, even from that big surge that we had in Sydney through May and into June, autumn and into winter, that it's still holding its own above 70% so far in November, but they were big results. But it's been a catch-up market, and the markets have generally just about caught up. And we know that with the prices data, with Sydney prices now being just about back to their previous peaks, and that's what the auction market's telling us. Similarly, Melbourne eased a little bit, probably a little bit on the more on the downside than we would have expected. I think that still represents some good value in that Melbourne market going forward. But still reasonable results going for November so far, and as expected, lower clearance rates. Brisbane holding its own, really, and as we know, that Brisbane market can tend to be a little volatile in terms of its auction results because it has a different auction culture. And Adelaide, a bit ho-hum, 80% plus in most months, just a little bit below that at the moment, but again, reflecting that seasonal result. And, yeah, Canberra down a little bit, and it's been the clear underperformer in terms of its auction market since the peak back there in June. So you get those auction results every Saturday night on my LinkedIn account, Graham, as you know. And I know that's the headline results for the capital cities. And then there's the full national results report that's released on my LinkedIn report every Sunday, which includes the regional breakdowns for Sydney and Melbourne. As we finish off, as usual, Graham, let's do an ad for the app. Of course, we have the Buy Housing Market Infinity app, which is a great little tool for those wanting to see what's happening in real time in the housing market. It does give you all the current, for each suburb in Australia that has data, you have the current asking price and asking rent, and you can filter that data for the property type, so house, townhouse, unit. You can also filter it, Graham, for the number of bedrooms. So you can look up in a particular suburb, you know, a unit with three bedrooms, two bedrooms, and it will give you the data for the current asking price, the median asking price, the high, the low, and the number for sale or for rent in that suburb. And there's just a screenshot with an example using Blacktown of what the app will provide you. Stay tuned for a... and of course, we do need to mention that if you take a picture of that QR code, it will take you to the app, but you need to have a password. And of course, you have to get that password through the Infinity organization. So, which isn't too hard to do. So, get onto Infinity and you can get the use for that app, which is a great little tool to have on your phone if you're wanting to know what's happening in the housing market on a suburb by suburb basis. And as I said, there's an example screenshot of it. Next week, wage index, we've mentioned that, the labour market, very interesting data, and we'll have a mid-month home price update as we usually do, and the latest weekend auction results. So that's it for today, Graham. Lots of interesting, I guess, more granular information, particularly regarding housing loans and house prices, house building costs and our auction clearance rates. So it'll be a big week next week, Graham. How will those wages respond to what is a, you know, booming labour market? I'd be surprised if we don't see a bounce back in annual wages growth. But, you know, it was a surprise over the June quarter where we actually saw annual wages growth lower than the previous March quarter. But one would expect that to bounce back given just how strong our labour market has been. But, you know, let's wait and see.
Yeah, absolutely, Doc. Well, very insightful and a pleasure as always. And stay tuned next week, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, for some deeper data. And make sure you're following Dr. Andrew Wilson on his LinkedIn, where he does publish all of these various reports and data and rent reports and market updates and insights. There's a no bullshit, no nonsense approach. It's the data. It's a very realistic interpretation, not optimistic, not pessimistic, realistic. And he's right more than he's wrong, and that's very, very important. He's very rarely wrong. Thank you, Doc, as always. We'll see you next week.
Catch you next week. See you, mate.
Thanks, Doc.